Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, March 31st. Happy Easter, everyone. And our guest tonight is Tim Bucharin. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us tonight. For those who are listening who have a question or a comment, you can call 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. You could also join us in the chat room where my sister Denise is kind of managing that, and she's going to share some beauty news with us tonight.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Join Friends Beauty Supply and Stilazzi Pro Set Bags and Makeup Cases at their UK trade show debut at the United Makeup Artists Expo at the Business Design Center in London. I think this is where IMAX normally has their show, I believe, at the Business Design Center. Anyway, the show, again, is called United Makeup Artists Expo. It takes place April 6th and 7th. That's coming up next weekend. And at the same time, IMAX is having their New York show same weekend, April 6th and 7th. For more information on IMAX, you can go to imax.net. And you can visit Friends Beauty Supply for more information, or visit their Facebook page, actually, for more information on the United Makeup Artists Expo. And speaking of expos, Beauty Talk will air live at the same expo in Pasadena, California, on June 29th and 30th. And for more information on that, you can check out fameexpo.com. That's P-H-A-M-E-X-P-O.com. Excuse me. And if you're going to be in the Los Angeles area during that weekend of June 29th and would like to attend the Fame Expo, we're asking all of our listeners to sign into our chat room tonight during the show, introduce yourself in the chat room, and state that you would like Fame Expo tickets. And we will give you the email address to send your mailing information, and we'll send you a one-day pass to the Fame Expo. So, again, log into the chat room and introduce yourself in the chat room and state that you would like Fame Expo tickets, and we'll send you a ticket. Marietta Carter Narcisse, workshop at Marietta is presenting Script Breakdown and Onset Etiquette. This is a brand-new workshop that she's offering in the month of April, on April 13th and 14th, as well as April 20th and 21st. these online classes take place over two consecutive weekends, Saturday and Sunday, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. This class is designed to help you bridge the gap between makeup school and the working set. Marietta teaches you what you need to function and excel as a productive makeup artist. Don't miss out on this opportunity. She's offering, class sizes are limited, so she needs you to sign up today, but she's offering a 30% off discount if you register before April 5th. So register before April 5th to receive 30% off. And you can go to MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. That's N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E. MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. And there are two iPhone/iPod apps that I wanted to throw out there. I think you all have heard us mention one before, iNook Beauty Book, and that's the makeup the makeup, well, actually makeup and hair app, where you can get ideas on certain looks for makeup and hair. If you're looking for a smoky eye look, or if you're looking for, I guess, you know, a period look or something like that, that particular app have a bunch of different looks on them, so you can kind of type in, like, do a search of what you're looking for, and you'll see tons of pictures with that look, and you can get the information for the makeup and hair people, photographer, information like that. But also there's another app called Haircaster. It says if you're having a bad, if you're having bad hair days, excuse me, if you're having a bad hair day, bad hair days are a thing of the past, thanks to Haircaster, a new daily weather forecast app. And this is the part that's kind of funny. It's a daily weather forecast app specifically for hair. So it's reporting local live climate conditions, including humidity, wind, rain, temperature, and how they will all affect trusses, and sporting a five-stage display that ranges from perfect to stay at home. Haircaster helps properly prepare users for weathering any storm. The app contains a proprietary formula that was developed in consultation with hair care professionals and can be purchased for the iPhone from the iTunes App Store. So if anybody's interested in that app, please download it and let me know what you think. I may have to download that one on my iPod because that sounds interesting. Also, one other thing really quickly, while I'm looking back at Marietta's email about her her class that she's having this April on set etiquette, she's also doing a lipstick lecture. A lipstick lecture called Who Runs the Makeup Department? And the lipstick lecture is the one that she does, like, on a Saturday for like, an hour. And, she, you know, she shares information in that class, and that's the free class. But the Workshops by Marietta classes, that's the paid class. And, again, that's going to be on script breakdown and set etiquette. And that's the 13th and 14th of April, as well as the 20th and 21st. But the lipstick lecture will be on Saturday, the 13th. And that's Who Runs the Makeup Department.
So that's the lipstick lecture, which will it'll be first before the script breakdown.
Yeah, I believe the lipstick lecture is from 11 to 12. And then there's an hour in between. And then the workshop by Marietta is from 1 to 4.
And again, lecture.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying the lipstick lecture is it's Who Runs the Makeup Department?
Who Runs the Makeup Department, yes.
Okay.
For this month of April. But again, for the workshops by Marietta, again, if you decide, let's just say she's already, you know, she's done the first two classes, and you decide, you know, for the next week that you do still want to take the class, you can go ahead and do the last two classes, you know, online with her, but then she'll give you all of the information that you missed from the first two classes. So there will be a way where you can go back and see everything that you missed for the first two classes. If you decide somewhere in between, like, if, you know, if just one class passed by but you still want to take the class, you can still do that without missing anything.
Gotcha. Cool. Tim.
Yes.
Tell us what you've been doing since the last time we talked to you.
I'm about to download a hair app because my hair is getting all a little nappy. The weather out here is a little unpredictable, so sorry, just being retarded as usual. Let's see. I keyed a movie called After Earth with Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Yeah, wait for that.
Yeah, it looks good. I just saw the trailer the other day. Damn, I was like, it kind of impressed me a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw it last week. It looked really good.
I was like, okay. And then also worked with, just did the last season of House of Lies.
Okay.
With Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell. Just finished doing a pilot last week with Brittany Snow and... I'm starting to do Californication with David Duchovny in this month. So, you know, just keep on rolling. keep rolling and working on the little product line. So.
Okay. Nice. So,
just a squirrel trying to get a nut. That's all.
Say that again?
I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
Have you been keeping up with Face Off, or do you watch that?
Which one?
Have you been keeping up with Face Off, or do you watch that?
I kind of keep up with it on and off, but, you know, nothing really. I still haven't seen the final. I haven't seen the final.
Right.
The final is still on my DVR. Boy, no, that's not yet. The one before the final is still on my DVR, I think. One of them is on the DVR that I haven't watched yet. And I think I just
confused myself.
You know? So, yeah. No, so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good talent there on Face Off.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
it makes
me wonder.
You know, that's the kind of stuff I would love to be able to do, but I'm like, eh.
Right.
You know. I'm like, I'll just call the lab and have them do it, you know.
Right,
exactly. Right, exactly.
And it seems like being on that show takes a lot of your time.
It does, you know. I'm sure it does. You know, I mean, it's, sorry, it's like, I got a little cold, so. Trying to get over that right now. No, I'm just kidding. I really admire those kids that's on the show. I think it takes such gut and to put your art out there, even though subjecting yourself to a the criticism that the judges give you, and I totally commend it. You know, I think it's one of those things. Would I put myself in that situation? No.
Right.
You know, because sometimes they would do things. The contestant would do things, and I look at it and go, wow, that's pretty good. Next thing you know, Vimeo is cutting it down. So I'm like, okay, well, apparently, you know, I'm not seeing what they're seeing.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and it's kind of hard because it's an art form. You know, everything is such an artistic interpretation that, you know, that you actually got three different judges to who has different ideas of what that looks should be. You know, trying to do that,
okay,
at least all three of them, it's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you before we get into tonight's discussion, I'm thinking about you talking about these judges and, I know that the contestants are put through a lot of pressure, and they're probably feeling like they are doing their very best. And then, like, maybe they go up to the judges, and the judges have some things to say that they may not like. How important is it, do you think, to take criticism? Some people don't take criticism well. How important do you think it is for people to learn to take criticism well, get what they can, learn what they can from it, and just move on and get past it? Not, some people's feelings get caught up in what somebody said about their work. And how important is it, do you think it is for someone to further their career to learn how to take criticism?
It's really, really important because basically whatever you do, you're getting criticized the whole time. It's like whether they're going to like it or they don't like it. And when you're working, let's say you're working with celebrities, let's say, like with Janet Jackson, you got Janet who wants one look. You got the record label who has an idea of what they're going to what they think she should look like. Her management has another idea of what they think she should look like. She has an idea. You have an idea. So you're never going to always please everybody. So you're going to have to basically learn to compromise and go, okay, well, they don't like this smoky eye on her. When they spend that much money on you and spend that much money on the project, they'll tell you, they have no problem telling you what they like and what they don't like.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Right.
And it's one of those things, you just got to be, water off their back. It's like you go in, they tell you what they like, they tell you what they don't like. you fix it to the point where it's a compromise, and after that, you know what not to do the next time. You know, so you can't really take anything seriously. You have to remember, it's not personal, this is business. That's just one thing about, you know, everybody's being such an artist. An artist, we tend to take everything so personally. Like, oh my gosh, you don't like that eyeliner I put on her. You know, you can't go commit suicide. No, don't worry about that. Just go and learn from what they told you. And because you have to remember, it's like when you work with big celebrities and things like that, there's a brand that needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a brand. You're working on a brand. And being criticized, I mean, you know, if the look is not right for the brand, then it's not right, you know. And we are in a service. We are in a service industry where not everybody's gonna like what we do.
Exactly.
You know.
But you also have to think, you know, if you're the artist selected to work with that brand, when that brand grows, so do you in a way. So it's like if what the artist or the management or the record label, if what they're saying is not something that you necessarily want to do, but if that's what they think is best for the artist, then that's just what you have to do because that's what you're getting paid to do. But, you know, sometimes you can look back and look at something that, you know, they wanted you to do and you see how it works. And, you know, then you look back and say, well, wow, you know, that wasn't so bad after all. But, again, when that brand grows, you grow.
Exactly, and also the other thing is when you brought in as an artist, hair, makeup, whatever, you're kind of like one of the last people who get brought into the project.
Right.
And there's already been so many meetings and everything else that goes on before you even get there. You know, when I work on album cover, the label has a Pinterest of the look that they like already. You know, they're like, we like this look, but we want to modify for this person, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you basically kind of have to go, okay, cool. That's what I have to do. That's what I have to do. But then this way of you putting your own stamp on it, too.
Right.
Without making it so, you know, the thing is, it's taking the idea of the images that they gave you, and then you twist it up to make sure it's right for that person. Because, you know what? We all know, we all look at the pictures in the magazine and go, oh my gosh, that's the latest trend. And then you try on Susie Q over here and she looks like boo-boo, you know. And it's just, that's where your job comes in as an artist, to basically take that and modify it to make sure it looks right on that person.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, but, you know, it's not always going to be a winner. You know. If you win 9 out of 10 times, then it's great.
Right.
Did that make sense at all?
Oh, yeah.
It does.
It made plenty of sense. It made plenty of sense. Now, I don't know if you all have heard about the whole deregulation of the cosmetology license or anything, but there are a few states out there who are presenting legislation, this whole deregulation legislation in their respective states. You have Indiana, Connecticut, Missouri. They've all introduced this whole deregulation legislation. And basically what it means is those particular states can get rid of their cosmetology license for hairstylists and barbers. And
they what?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I wanted to read a little bit of this letter that was written by this president of the National Cosmetology Association. And she says, by now, I'm sure you are all aware the future of our industry is in jeopardy. Deregulation, or the D word, as we like to call it, is a topic of conversation that not only doesn't seem to be going away, it's coming up more and more often. Every year, states across the U.S. introduce legislation that would essentially make your license, the license you worked so hard to acquire and keep current, completely irrelevant. And so far, 2013 has been no exception. As I sit and write this letter, there are already 5 bills circulating the halls of state legislatures that could eliminate cosmetology licensing in those states and set a precedent for other states to follow, and more are sure to come. So I guess I missed two additional states from the ones I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
If you're like me, you're probably asking yourself why. Why would your state government, the same government that created state boards, exams, and licensing to protect consumers, now be introducing bills that would demolish them? The answer is simple: pressure. Pressure from peers who believe in reducing the role of the government and creating less regulation, and pressures from private organizations like the Institute for Justice and the Goldwater Institute that believe occupational licensing is nothing more than a roadblock for people who want to work in that field but don't want to take the time or spend the money to get the proper education and get licensed. I am calling on all of you, my brothers and sisters in beauty, to take a stand for our industry now. Deregulation legislation would delegitimize everything you as a licensed professional work for and completely change the future of our industry. What do you all think about that? Before we even talk about how it's going to affect the consumer, the client, or the, you know, like the salons and your distributors and all of that, what do you all think just about deregulation altogether of the industry?
I mean, it's the deregulation thing. I think it's totally absurd. It's like,
mm-hmm.
There's a reason that, I mean, it's one of those situations that, you know, you want to be a hairdresser. You go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the proper technique. You learn what chemical works with what. You know what heat, you know, how much heat
right.
You can put a hair on the hair before it gets burned off. You know, just because you have a curling iron doesn't mean that you're a hairdresser. Just because
right.
You have a makeup brush doesn't mean that you're a makeup artist. You
right.
know, and it's like doing the work is one thing, but the sanitation process of work is that's where
mm-hmm.
it's going to come in and totally jeopardize. You know, I mean,
go ahead.
No, it's like, you know, one thing that I saw recently on YouTube was this little girl was trying to show somebody how, you know, she must be 15, 16 years old. You know, she was trying to show how, you know, how you, a little white girl, blonde hair, she decides she's going to show people how to curl their hair on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was wrapping it around, she's talking, da-da-da, she held it for 2 seconds, and when she pulled it out, the whole hair, I mean, the section that she curled up, all fell out.
Mm.
Guess what? If we deregulate it, That little young lady could be doing your hair next.
Right.
It's just one of those situations. It's like, you know what, I'd rather spend the money to go to somebody who actually knows what they're doing than I have friends that's willing to cut my hair, but you know, I'm like, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not getting a floppy haircut, you know, mm-hmm. or anything like that. But it's just like, you know, there's certain things that needs to be regulated, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, what's now? What's next going to be? Electrician?
Right.
You know, are they going to regulate that too? So basically,
right.
I could go walk in and be an electrician and burn somebody's house down.
Right. Well, you know, that's my whole big thing about the whole deregulation thing is, you know, just learning, you know, sanitation and sterilization and all that kind of thing, and it's like, you know, you can do hair out of your house and never get a license, and there are people who do, and they're great at it.
And they're great
but
at it, yeah.
It's like you're missing the whole thing about, you know, sanitizing and all of that. You're missing the whole, like you said, you know, if you don't know that you can't put, you know, certain chemicals on certain hair types or certain ingredients on certain hair types, then, you know, you have to learn that. And the only way that you're going to learn that at home, it's trial and error after someone's hair falls out, they're trying to sue you, all the things like that. That's what you're trying to prevent when you have legislation and you do have the government controlling things to a certain extent. It's protecting the consumer.
I mean, it does. I mean, I think that's where even the consumers need to step up and speak up about it because it's, you know, yeah, granted, you know, all of a sudden it's deregulated. and you got 50,000 other hairdressers. But guess what? Those 50,000 other hairdressers that's now working in your local salon that doesn't have a license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's another, I mean, they've been used to doing it a certain way, and now they're in your local salon and getting and doing that now. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And like for me, you know, and I don't know. I just totally disagree with that. I think it's very irresponsible, you know, the legislature to even come up with that. I think it's one of those most irresponsible things for them to do. And it's not protecting the consumers. And guess what? If people want to do hair, want to do makeup, want to do whatever, be an electrician, be a builder, whatever course they want to take, if you want to be in that occupation, get your butt to school and learn how to do things properly.
Right.
Because you're sitting here and you're crying over, oh, I can't work because I'm not licensed. There's a reason your butt is not licensed. Your butt is not licensed because you're not qualified to do the job. You know, and it going to hair school, you have 6 months out of your life. Guess what? You know, people go and get their PhD. It takes them years and years and years. 6 months out of your life for the career for the rest of your life, it's not that long of a time. You know, and
right.
I don't know. I'm just like, it's just one of those situations. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, you really want to put people's, you know, I mean, you know, you've seen those little burn, doing makeup, you've seen those little burn marks on people's forehead all the time.
Right.
You know, come on. So it's one of those situations. It's like, you know, and now what's going to happen after that? With the lawsuit, with the insurance now, so that, you know, when you're not licensed, what, the insurance is going to go way up for everybody too now?
Right.
You know, it's just a trickle effect. I think it's really, like I said, I think it's really irresponsible of whoever's writing the bill.
Yeah.
Who thinks that it would save somebody. You know, it's just because, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I totally disagree with it.
Yeah. And I think
also,
you know, it opens up the floodgates. Think about how many people now are going to go around saying their hairstylist. Now, I cannot take anything from anybody. If you have a talent, skill level, that's great. That's fine. But there's got to be something that determines who's professional and who's not.
You know what? The way I look at it is this. If you've been doing in the home kitchen for years and you learn your craft on your own, you know how to do things properly, guess what? Let the government take them and let them go take the test.
Yep.
Let them go in and take the test. If you pass the test, then you have every single legal right to work. But guess what? If you don't pass the test, you can't cry about it because there's, so, you know, it's like, doing hair, you're putting chemicals on people.
Right.
You know what I mean? To basically put, you know, you're putting acid on people's skin, you have to be a dermatologist.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be licensed. You have to be a dermatologist. You have to, you know the chemical reaction, and you need to know when to stop. You know, and to me, it's just... You know, I mean, if you've been in the business for 20 years and you haven't got a license, to me, that just says that you're lazy. Sorry. You know, I don't care how talented you are. But to me, that's just laziness.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know, I know people can hate me for saying that, but I don't really care. You know, I took my time when I went to makeup school, and I'm still continuing learning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not on the hair side, but on the makeup side. I'm still continue learning. You know, it never stops.
Right.
Yeah, so to me, it's like, you know what? If you feel that you qualify to take the test, you need to, you know, the government needs to open up that test. And go, okay, everybody could come in and take the test. But if you don't pass, then, you know, so it's one of those situations nobody really can... Nobody can say that they weren't giving an opportunity.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, you should want to learn everything you can about your craft anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, you should just want to learn everything you can.
Exactly. Okay. But, you know, it's just one of the things. It's like trend changes all the time.
Right.
You know? Trend changes all the time. You look at people. You look at Frank Cooper. You look at, you know, Reggie Wells. You look at all those makeup artists who's been around forever and a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But they're still keeping up with the trend. They still created trends.
Right.
And that's continual education. You know?
Right.
That's continual education on that end.
Right.
It's like, can you imagine if I'm still doing the makeup like I did back when I started in the 90s? I would never work.
Let me ask
you
about something. Where do you think that has come from? Why do you think a few states are even interested in going that route?
I don't know. I feel like the government is putting their nose in places it doesn't belong,
mm-hmm.
and you know where they need to like. I don't know. It's just like it's one of those situations where I'm like, you know, the person who wrote that bill, you know, are their friends have been doing their hair for years and
mm-hmm.
bitch and cry about it. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things. Like, you know, it should be open to everybody. It is open to everybody. But you just have to be qualified and you have to be licensed to work in it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do it, then you work at home. You make more money sitting at home anyways, because guess what? You don't have to pay the rental fee. You don't have to split get the money you make with the spot.
Right.
As you're doing now, you know. I don't know. I can't even guess on what the what conjure up that, what scenario comes up to conjure up that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, are they going to go to an electrician and say, well, okay, we're going to deregulate that now? Or are they going to go to some other, you know, occupational licensing people and say, okay, now we're going to open it all up now.
Right.
But now, like, guess what? You know, your electrician could be doing your hair next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's an electrician. He knows how to plug. He knows how to stick a plug in. You know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And think about it this way, though. I mean, I know we still are all very against it, but what if we had hairstylists and makeup artists? And I think it's really bad when it comes to the hairstylists. But what about hairstylists who would work on feature film and television and they hadn't been licensed? Do you think some of the talent would go for that?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, when you're working on film, everybody in film has to be licensed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not allowed to work on a unit project unless you are a licensed hairdresser. And
what if they get rid of this, and then the union decides, well, okay, since they, you know, it's not required any longer, maybe we can start letting in people who aren't licensed. You think they would ever do that?
I don't think it would. I really don't think it would. I don't think it would, and I hope it would. And
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's to work, because we all work our butt off to get to where we are, to get our union card. You know, and there's a certain, you know, there's a certain thing. It's like it's just kind of weird. It's like, you know, like it's one of those situations. It's like, you know, right to work state, per se.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like North Carolina's right to work state. Everybody's right to work state. But it's still hard for people in those towns to get into the union, even though it's right to work state. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they still have to meet a certain criteria. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think the criteria should go away.
Mm-mm.
You know?
It shouldn't anyway.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. you know, it should not be going away.
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah, on that, I don't know. It's just one of those situations.
It's really crazy. It really is. Like, I just can't even imagine why
someone would want to take away the licensing of a cosmetologist. It just makes no sense. Or a barber. It just makes no sense at all.
I'm sorry, you're not coming to, they're coming to my head with a scissor. You know, and also
no.
you're using sharp objects on people.
Exactly.
There's ways of holding your scissors. There's way of holding a comb. There's way of holding a clipper. And, you know, sometimes those clipper gets really hot if you don't know what the heck you're doing. You know?
Yeah.
It just saddened me that's even being talked about. You know?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I'm like, and I think, you know, if, like I said, you know what, there needs to be, I feel they need to be regulated. And I really hope that people would write into their Senate and, you know, or, you know, it doesn't matter if you're that in those states or not. I still feel that, you know, if you're not in that state, you still should write into the, you know, to whatever state it's in and
uh-huh.
express your opposition to it.
Yeah.
Whether you're a hairdresser or not.
Yeah.
You could be a consumer and I still feel you have every right to let that be heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really crazy. It's really, really crazy. And there's a government affairs team that's set up. And if you want, you can call 800-468-2274 to learn how you can get involved and fight for the continued professionalism of our industry. It's just a little crazy. So are you
that's
all... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to make a smart-ass comment, but I never mind.
No, go ahead.
You know, I mean, what's next? You know, it's like if somebody who's been cleaning the toilet, can they start cleaning your teeth next? You know?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, because that's also the occupational. That person has to be licensed to, you know?
Right.
And, you know, but, hey, this person cleans the toilet, so they might as well be able to clean your mouth. There's like, hey. That's yeah, I know that's really
retarded,
but
hey, you know. But you have to put it that way so people get it.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then, you know, next thing you know, when your hair burns off, that's when you go, oh, shoot, I should have spoke up about it. Don't wait till your hair
mm-hmm.
falls off. You know?
That's right.
And, and the girls with the weave, come on, you know, you don't want somebody to stick your head with that needle, do you?
Nope.
Right.
You know?
Nope. But, I mean, that's what it's coming to, though. If there is no license, that's what it's coming to, because nobody's sitting there training you on how to do it the right way. I mean, you can all, after you've been trained, if you find a way that works better for you, I mean, by all means, do that. But at least you know the right way.
Exactly.
Why things are done the way it's supposed to be done.
And everybody should know that way. Even, you know, like even with makeup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm just working on a project and, you know, and I'm taking my normal 45 minutes to do a face and some other kid took 20 minutes. They're like, well, they're faster. I'm like, okay, go ahead.
Right.
You can take the next person fast, you know, but
yep.
But guess what? My little half Asian butt was sitting down the whole time while she's running in and out of the set, touching them up. Once
mm-hmm.
you learn how to do it properly the first time, the term of working, you know, work smart, not hard. When you're working, you know, when you're trying to be fast, you're not working smart. I'd rather spend more time at the beginning of the show and get people done, you know, than having to write it every 5 seconds. That's when the ADs and the producers go, really, again?
Yeah, exactly. And see, somebody that's trying to be seen or something, or and trying to impress somebody, because if you're allotted 45 minutes for each woman, then take the 45 minutes.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's the thing. Is like, you know, and you know, the whole thing is like, you know, once you learn the basic, you know, it just helps. You know, have you ever noticed the girls that do their own hair at home?
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the club, 5 minutes later, it's falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they just woke up. And when you go to the salon and you actually get a proper blowout, proper curl, the whole nine yards, and the hair, your hair would look amazing for 3 days straight without doing anything to it. And that's part of knowing the craft. And that's part of being licensed. Professional.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I'm breaking it down, yo.
But it's true, though. You're right. You're absolutely right. That was a good example.
You know, and that's the way it is. It's like, you know, it's just like, you know, your local government doing everything by emotion versus by what's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen, though. If like the four or five states decide that they no longer want to have a cosmetology license, then you know what's going to happen. Slowly but surely, you're going to have another state that's going to do the same, and another, and another, and another. Until nobody has a license.
You know, shoot, just letting y'all know, I'm going to start cutting hair next week.
You may as well.
Dude, I don't think you want me to touch your hair.
You know. So let me ask you all this. And I'm not even sure if this is probably not even a word. So are you all expoed out with all the beauty expos that we have going on now? Are you expoed out?
I'm so exposed out, it's not even funny. It feels to me that, like, all of it, it's a great way to go in and meet with the vendors and learning new things. But come on, you guys. I mean, like, you know, the IMAT just happened, what, in January, February?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
The next one is coming up in June.
You know, they're not doing that one in June anymore.
Oh, they're not? Okay, I have no idea.
No, that's why they switched it. Because London was normally in January, and then Pasadena was in June, so they switched the shows. They moved the Pasadena show to January and then the London show to June.
Okay. But anyway, when I went to the IMAX show last time, one thing I'm really... It's kind of one of my big pet peeves right now with the even bringing up the whole deal, like the legislature and things like that. First
mm-hmm.
of all, every single show you go to, you see the same damn thing over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you have new stuff like Monsterpalooza that's coming up in 2 weeks here in LA,
mm-hmm.
which is all the stuff that's based on special effects, which is the only show that has strictly special effects. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think to me that's great. I think, you
mm-hmm.
know, and you know, but it's just one of those things. It's like some the companies go to both, the IMAT and...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's you're not really getting anything new.
No, you're not.
You know, you have the same exact people constantly teaching.
Yep.
And they're teaching the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they speak about the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just, it becomes boring. It's because it's like, is it really worth the money for me to go
mm-hmm.
to this thing? Because you're just going to keep on getting the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing. Second thing, and I'm not trying to offend any bloggers, any YouTubers, or anything out like
mm-hmm.
that out there. I'm sorry. I'm sick of seeing y'all there.
Yep.
One thing is that, for me, is that I understand it's a way of making an income, a way of making money for a lot of people, which is great to find have another avenue of going. But the problem I have is that I'm seeing a lot of YouTubers, and you know, and who does it? Sanitation to me is one of the biggest things in the world.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know? And people don't realize that when you call yourself a professional, when you start taking money for your craft, the other thing you should have is also an insurance, a business insurance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you are liable if that person's skins break out or anything
mm-hmm.
like that. Okay? A lot of people,
right.
And the thing, I see people on YouTube, they're like literally would use, you know, and I'm like, people, come on, clean your brushes. You know, stop using your fingers. I understand you're using clean product. Fingers are great.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a proper sanitation part of it. And I think a lot of people seeing everybody else doing it, so they feel
right.
it's okay. That's where the education comes in. That's where that needs to be. You know?
Yeah.
And to me also, I blame the makeup lines. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, it's like you got 12-year-old kids running around. You know, here's a professional who's been in the business for, you know, 15 years speaking to the rep. But then a YouTuber and a kid comes in, oh, I had 20,000 followers. You would drop me, you know, you would drop that, stop speaking to that particular person that actually endorses your product and mention your product to
yep.
magazines and things like that
yep.
to deal with the YouTubers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, where, you know, it just, I don't know. I might sound like a bitter old queen, but at the same time.
No. No, you're absolutely
you know,
right, because I agree. I agree.
You know, you need to have that. Like I said, I understand that YouTubing is a new media way of people getting the product to the consumers, you know? And let's be honest. All these people walk in there. I could walk in there and say I have a million followers. You're not sitting there checking it.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
The only reason I'm telling you I have a million followers because I want some free product.
Right.
Let's be honest about it. You know, I mean,
that's
come on.
Right.
Let's really be honest about it. Let's call it what it is. You know. And that's the sad part. And that's the sad part that the business that our industry has come to that. You know. And you're sitting here, you're looking at companies that they don't care who you are. They're not sending you any product.
Yep.
You know, and they're still doing fine without the, I don't know, it just, am I making any sense at all?
Oh, you're making
yes, you
plenty
are.
Of sense.
And you know, one, let me just add something about the YouTubers, and I'm not knocking anybody, like you said.
I'm not knocking them down to each phone.
You know, if that's how they're making their money or whatever, so be it. The problem that I have with it, let's use, for instance, I think it was maybe last year or the year before at IMAX. You know, there was a line, and I can't remember what YouTuber it was, but there was a line that was literally wrapped around the whole entire foyer area, you know, waiting to get into this one classroom where this one particular YouTuber was. And Dick Smith walks in the building.
Nobody knew who he
and
was.
Nobody knew who he was. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Every time I go to IMAX and I see Dick Smith, I like to take a picture with this Smith. So I probably collected, you know, 10 or 11 pictures with Dick Smith. But every time he's there, I like to go up to him because I'm excited to see him there. They did not move. Not one YouTuber or person standing in line to see the YouTuber knew who it was.
I mean, and that's just a sad part to me. It's like,
yeah.
If you're going to call yourself a makeup artist, knows your past.
Yep.
Okay? Knows the person that paved the way for you.
Mm-hmm.
you know? Because guess what? If it wasn't for those old-timers, you wouldn't have what you have right now.
Mm-mm. It really wouldn't be an eye match either, or makeup show,
no,
or whatever the name of all these shows are.
And
yeah, think about it. Think about, because Dick Smith started out where? Like at ABC in New York?
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, think about all the news shows, you know, the ABC has and all mm-hmm. the, you know, the television shows. I mean, if it wasn't for Dick Smith, who created, like, the first makeup department there at ABC. I mean, people don't know that. People don't still, you know, you can tell them all this stuff now, and they still don't know who he is, and probably half of them still won't even go out and research him.
No, they wouldn't. It's one of those things. It's like, whatever you want to do, you need to learn the past. You know what I mean? And you know, I remember sometime I was talking to somebody, and I mentioned Kevin Kline, and somebody was like, he's dead? But his product line's out. It's one of those things. I just want to slap him. You know?
Oh, my God.
All kidding aside, I just want to slap him. It's one of those situations, you know? It's like, learn your past. I bet
right.
you go to these kids now and they ask when Wade Bandy is. Nobody knows who that is. You know? And then let's make it a little more recent, you know, to the late Roxana Floyd. You know,
mm-hmm.
and people wouldn't know who she is either. There's a legacy there. There's a reason, you know, there's the stuff I have now, I owe to Kevin. I owe to Wade Bandy. I owe, you know, owe to Dick Smith, Rick Baker, you know, I mean, that whole huge group of makeup artists who paved the way for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whose shoulders I stand on still to this day. You know, and it's one of those things, it's like you can't, You need to learn every single thing about, you know, that's just like you being a model and you want to go work, you know, you want to model, but you have no idea who these people are. You know,
right.
You have no idea who the designers are. You know, you have no idea who Karl Lagerfeld designed for. And you don't know who the big photographers are. You know, and that's the thing. It's like you need to know your, you know, that's one thing I love about Jennifer James.
Mm-hmm.
She's a walking encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a walking encyclopedia. She knows exactly who everybody is. You know, and she could recite your resume to the T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me that impresses me. You know, but
yeah,
you know, she's, you know, I don't know if she YouTube or not, but I think she blogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to me that impresses me when you do that. You know, anyway. So
yeah,
you know,
it shows that she's taking the time to learn to educate herself.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, it's like when I met Jennifer, the first time I met Jennifer. She saw my name, and she was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we were all together, actually.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and I was laughing. I'm like, you have no idea who the heck I am.
Right.
And she literally went down my resume. I'm not saying I'm a huge makeup artist by any stretch of means, but at the same time, it was kind of like, I was like, ooh, I'm a little honored by that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those situations where you're like, people like that impresses me, you know?
Right.
If you know your past and you know the people that came before you, that impresses me more than, is a YouTube on how to do a smoky eye. Kim Kardashian. Who cares?
Right.
You know? Well, apparently a lot of people care because, you know, those kids are but, you know, it's like, I don't need, for me personally, I don't need to have 50,000 followers to validate who I am as an artist.
That's right.
Right, exactly.
I don't need to walk around and tell people I have 50,000 followers, which I don't, by the way, and I don't really care, and I don't even know how many followers I have. But, you know, that was just a number I pulled up out of the air. But you know, it's like, it's, to me, it's like the way that I, you know, it's like the way I get validated is the way how my check looks every time I work.
Thank you.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We gotta be honest. I mean, I'm being honest right now. You know, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And I would love to see all the artists that's been in the business for a long time and actually has credits to their names,
mm-hmm.
to do a YouTube channel to really get the following going. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And really educate people properly. Educate people right on how to be sanitized, how to clean things up, how
right.
to make this job a lot easier, and how not to
right.
look like a drag queen every time you put your makeup on.
Exactly.
Ooh, did I say that out loud?
You sure
yes,
did.
You did.
Okay. Just want to make sure that it's not in my head. You know, but hey.
But
again,
I totally get what you're saying, though. Totally.
I mean, like I said, to each his own. You do what
mm-hmm.
you do. I'm not blocking anybody's blessing.
Right.
I know YouTubers who are making $20,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy for you. You know, totally happy for you. But, you know, hey, at least those people actually know how to apply the makeup. And I know, you know, I have, I'm sounding like a bitter old queen right now. But anyway.
No, you don't. Not to me. I must be bitter and old then because, yeah.
You know, my whole thing is it takes a minute for you to be able to teach people. You know,
yeah.
I get approached by school all the time. I get approached by Mud. I get approached by Joe Blasco to go in and actually teach classes. And I'm like, you know what? I can, but I'm not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind sharing my knowledge, but I'm not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on my selfish, you know, phase of it. So it's one of those things that you gotta really, you know, I don't know, you gotta really figure. I mean, like when last time I went to IMATS, I felt like I was a big old giant that about to step on a bunch of ants. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. The other thing I have to say is the parents of some of the young YouTubers, teach your kids some manners. Sorry. Just saying. When your kids see adults talking, maybe they should wait.
Oh.
Just saying. Because if I was done that when I was younger, my mom would knock me upside the head. Sorry.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Exactly.
You know, just because your kids making $1,000 a week from whoever is paying them.
Right.
Don't make them feel like they're entitled. Don't
right.
teach them. There's, the younger generation already is an entitlement generation. So
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, don't give in to that.
Exactly. Well, you know, my whole thing with the makeup expos, I mean, pretty much the same as you, like. Well, for one, again, like you said, you go to them and it's like the same stuff over and over and over. And I don't know if it's just that some of the better instructors or some of the like, you know, I can remember going to IMATS and, you know, you had Rick Baker there.
Oh, yeah.
You had Ronnie Spector there. You had, of course, V. Neal. You had, and it wasn't so much product driven. Like, of course, everybody had their products, but it wasn't so much about, you know, selling this product, selling that product, because you automatically went to these people and you bought their products. And you would have classes on lighting long before HD was an issue. You know, you had different classes on lighting and how to lay on, you know, a what am I trying to say? You know, how to lay on beards and mustaches and, you know, just laying on of hair and stuff like that. You had really good classes, even beauty classes. You had really good classes. Now, I think because of all the social networking, because of all that, you do have the influx of you know, your YouTubers and a whole hell of a lot of beauty bloggers. There are tons of beauty bloggers at the makeup show, IMAX. I mean, there are tons of them. And, yes, they come because I know some of them, you know, when you come, when you go to the shows. They're there. They're there looking for the handout. They're looking for the gift bag for the bloggers. They're looking for that. And then, you know, you go to the vendors, and it's like, you know, now that you have for IMAX, you have the cards, you would think that you didn't have to show your card for somebody to know that you were a professional and for somebody to say, oh, can you try, oh, you know, what if, or even if they didn't really give you, like, a bag of stuff, they don't have to give you a bag of stuff. But sometimes, even for a professional, for the vendor to talk to the professional to see what it is that they're doing, and maybe the vendor may want the professional to try their product on their show. Maybe they will want to give them, you know, one or two items, you know, or a bag full of items. I don't know. But it's like you don't have that anymore because there's no real time to kind of like really network with the vendors and to really get to know the vendors. It's like for the people that you know already, then those are the people that you just continue to develop that relationship. But it's like there aren't really many new relationships to be made because it's like, you know, the bloggers are all over the place. It's almost like vendors are tired of giving out their products.
Well, because, I mean, it's like, you know, back in the days, way before the bloggers and the YouTubers, you know, the vendors will give product out, but at the same time, now there's just like, you know, everybody who has a computer and a makeup brush calls themselves a makeup guru now. Makeup guru, makeup celebrity, makeup artist, And you know, I just feel like everything comes so, people feel everything comes so easy. You know?
Yeah.
Everything comes so easy, and I think people just feel that, you know, oh, I could just do this and just call it a day, you know, and I'm fine, and you know, it's like when you start up a makeup line, usually the first 5 years of it is you're taking a total loss. Well, now with everything else, you're taking a lot more losses than gains.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that is part of the. That is part of the business, but you know, hey, the way I look at it, if you want to give all your product out to everybody, you know, then by all means, that's your money to lose. But hey, you know,
So
but
I'm hoping the Fame Expo, since it's a new expo, I'm hoping Fame Expo will be a little different because they are supposed to have, you know, it's the professional hair and makeup expo, and I think they're all supposed to have, you know, hair vendors, makeup vendors, and I think also like nail vendors, you know, so it's going to be like a more of a beauty expo with, of course, it's going to have lots of makeup, but you know, but still, you will have the whole hair aspect and the nail aspect and things like that. So I'm hoping it can prove to be a little different and a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
But again, like you said, you know, all the vendors, they go from show to show to show to show. So right there, you're not going to see, but so much different stuff.
Exactly. And they talk about the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And from 1 year to the next, it's changing from green eyeshadow to blue eyeshadow.
Yep.
You know?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
We'll see.
Well, Tim, we're not going to hold you. We've gone past our hour, and we know you need to rest and get over your cold.
Oh, no, I'm going to dinner right now.
Uh-oh.
Honey, my friends are happy. We're having Easter dinner, which I'm late for, but we got mariachi band and strippers. That's what you mean to Easter dinner, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, we will let you get on to your dinner, but thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime
you want to come
on. And y'all, I'm not always this bitter.
That's just being honest. It's not being bitter. It's being honest. And if somebody doesn't like it, then they just don't like it. You know, you just speak your truth.
Honey, all I know is the older I get, the more truth comes out.
Hey,
right.
I know it.
You know? Yeah.
Yep.
So.
It's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, enjoy yourself.
I will.
Talk to you soon.
All righty. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, Tim.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening tonight. If you enjoyed tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can join us on our Beauty Talk Online Radio Facebook page for the next 5 minutes or so if you want to discuss anything a little further. And, again, join us next Sunday night at 9 p.m. for another edition of Beauty Talk.
And again, if you are interested in Fame Expo, just hit us up on the Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online Radio page, and let us know that you're interested in going and you want a one-day pass to the show, and we'll get your information so that we can mail you out a one-day pass for the show. But also, we just wanted to let you know, join us next Sunday night at 9 p.m. here at Beauty Talk, and we will have Adia Rogers. She's a beauty blogger. And we just talked so bad about beauty bloggers tonight. But she's a beauty blogger, and her she blogs about natural hair. So if you are a natural hair wearer or a natural hair fan and you love natural hair products, then you will want to join us next week at 9 p.m. here on Beauty Talk so we can talk all about natural hair. It should be a fun show. So if you know anybody who likes natural hair or who wears their hair natural, please let them know about the show and join us next Sunday.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.